You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Don't you love when the music comes and goes? You're like, you're really getting in there? Hey, my luminaires, my looms. Woo, out there, I tell you, the test in life are many, numerous, but we are built for the task. Are we not? Before we get started, how's everybody doing out there? How's your week going? Your day, your hours, your minutes, and your moments, all of those count. Before we get started, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, one of my little heart babies. He's so sweet. And very good and sharp at what he does, no doubt. So shout out to him. And today, I love it when I kind of have you guys all to myself. I'm kind of getting used to, I know I have a strong personality and, you know, I'm out there, I'm very social, but at the same time, there's still some little reserve about, you know, really coming out and really, you know, connecting in that deep penetrative way that I like to connect to people, that you can feel it. I want you to feel my love for you. I want you to feel it across the screen. It's not fake. This is not phony. I can feel all of you, believe it or not. I have a lot of water in my energy field and I am very empathic and feel very, very far away, and I can feel the love. I feel the other stuff, the whatever all that negativity is, but that's always going to be there. So, you know, it's something we have to get used to and find the balance. But today I have a very interesting subject. Today I want to talk about the matrix, not the matrix in the way that you've heard it online, seen the movie, but in a way where I want to break down something. So in the matrix, we get the slick visuals. You know, we've gone from horror to that fine, you know, Keanu Reeves and the dashing Lawrence Fishburne with a great deep oratorical voice that he speaks in. And, you know, the hip switch from the old to the sleek new glasses, the cute, you know, the cute vanity. Trinity. And Vanity was cute too. Trinity in The Matrix and all of the series of The Matrix, the Wachowski sisters kicked butt. And I want to take you back even further. So first of all, there was a movie, for those of you that are movie buffs, that are really into movies and keep up movies and film, there is a movie called Existence. With a Z, E-X-I-S-T-N-Z. It had Jennifer Jason Leigh and Jude Law. And what happened is that some kind of way, I've got to go back, Jennifer Jason Leigh was, some kind of threat was made onto her life. So she and Jude Law ran across each other and they developed this game called Existence, where you take the DNA from animals and you make a pod out of it, and then you have to rub the pod. Sometimes they would take their own saliva if the pod was dry. And they had a portal, much like the Matrix, that they could insert, but they only inserted it at the base of the spine. And then once it was inserted, you could go off into this, you know, kind of existence where the game, you know, if you get caught in the game, I don't remember if it was real or not, but they had a hard time differentiating between reality and the real game, which is sometimes what we're all concerned about. AI, again, is not going to go away. None of these things are going to go away. So we have to learn how to live with things in harmony, make peace with things that we cannot control, and learn to use, you know, be the example, use the tool to its highest degree in its best possible way to serve us as a humanity, not take away from. But back to his existence. So they're sitting on the bed, they're running from them lives, and we talk about how now we're afraid of the digital world. So we were already getting glimpses of the digital world even back then. So what, 1999, The Matrix came out, so did Existence come out. They came around the same time. Let me take you further back, which is where I want to really take you back. So I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine. And for those of you that are really young, you can go look it up. There's nothing hidden. You don't have to be old to know anything or be young to be hip. Everything is blended these days. But I want you to go back to the year 1983. There was a movie. Now, David Cronenberg is a director. I didn't even know who he was at the time. You can open your eyes now if you like. I didn't even know who he was at the time, but I love the movie Scanners, The Fly, Dead Ringers, which Jeremy Irons played a double character. I had the worst time knowing who was who, Ellie or the other one. You know, they were two gynecologists, and they made it really interesting. They met a woman that had three cervices, three, and they did sexual experiments on her as gynecologists, and they were fascinating to the point that she created a wedge between the two brothers. At the end, very tragically, the story ends very tragically, but it's a very good psychological thriller if you're open to that sort of thing. And David Cronenberg did an excellent thing. He's one of the best psychological, get there in your mind and make you think of how people think and how wicked or how wonderful our minds can be and how it can serve us or hurt us or help us. So back to this movie, 1983, another David Cronenberg movie, Videodrome. Ooh, baby. When I tell you Videodrome was intense. I don't know how I ran across Videodrome, but I'm always open and curious about something that I don't know about in something healthy, not some old bizarre, you know, they're killing, they're just slashing everywhere and there's no meaning or anything behind it, just somebody angry or whatever, disturbed in the mind. I'm talking about something that makes psychological sense. So Videodrome starts off with this guy played by James Woods. I think his name is Max. I don't know the last name, but I'm pretty sure his name is Max. He is the owner of a low budget UHF television station out of Toronto. And he, one day, he's looking to get away. Like, we're looking for numbers, how to get more numbers in those times. They were looking for higher ratings on a TV show, so they would do these daring things to try to get the audience hooked, you know, get them in and, you know, get the numbers and now get the ratings that they needed so they could, you know, keep their program going. So one day he was in search of some higher, an edgier programming. He heard a signal and he did a little research and tried to find out where the signal was coming from. So he tells one of the employees, look, I heard this signal. I don't know where it's from, but the signal, it's some kind of signal that leads into a room where the two anonymous characters are being tortured. Like, they're fighting and it's torture and it's violence. And of course he's like, oh, wow, this would be interesting, because he doesn't think it's real. You know, he's like, oh, this is an interesting thing to bring to the audience. So he turns around and makes a trip to Toronto, wherever it is, in some part of Toronto. So he doesn't know that in the signal that he's hearing, listen to me very carefully, in the signal underneath the bed that is underneath the signal, there's a bed, there's a foundation of everything, anything that has something going on, there's some kind of way it's built upon something, whether it's affirm something, something that moves, but it's still something that it has to connect to flow, was a deadly signal that causes the human brain to develop tumors and cause the people to do very crazy, wicked things, kind of a mind control kind of thing. Much like we warn people to be careful what you intake, you know, as data, what you listen to, what we believe in, what we trust, who we deal with, all of those things are things that we should be paying attention to. But back to the story. So he starts to do more research on Videodrome. He finds out what is this guy's name. Let me see. He finds out about the leader of this program that is all about reworking or reframing human reality. So it's heavily, this film is, I was trying to think about, the heavily inspired by the theorist Marshall McLuhan, who is parodied by the character Brian Oblivion. In the movie, he praised the guy that's the head of this Videodrome signal, and they seek to bring people in. So the more and more Max gets involved with Videodrome, the more seduced he becomes. So the drone or the tone becomes a sound that the whoever the individual person is listening to it, it starts to kind of wrap itself around their nervous system. So pretty soon, you know, it becomes like, much like if something's talking to you personally and only you can hear it, but it's real. But maybe it's not real. But whether it's not real or real, it's real to the person that's hearing it or experiencing the tone. So we get to the part of the film where he encounters this seductress played by Debbie Harry. Remember Debbie Harry, Blondie? She plays the seductress in the Videodrome tape, where the television screen becomes a breathing entity. And her name is Nikki, and starts to talk to Max. So Max starts getting off on all of this stuff. He's looking forward to going over, getting on the drone, turning on the TV set, plugging in, you know. Now, again, there are no portals being used, but everything is a tone, much like we're using now. I mean, think back, really think. This is 1983. Those of you that weren't hip to computers, technology, AI, they're not new. The only thing new is that we're just hearing about them in the public. For those people like myself and other people that are progressive thinkers, and I love being a progressive thinker and could really give a rat's to Hootie, who thinks it's weird or strange or whatever, it's progressive. And if you start reading and studying some things outside of your community-based information of what was fed to us, you'll find it's a fascinating, fascinating world out here that we live in, all kinds of interesting things that are designed to serve, to protect, to incite, inspire, hate, love, all of those things are right here on this planet. Such a marvelous thing that we've been handed to work through. So back to Miss Nikki. So Miss Nikki, at first they start with the voice, her voice, which is Debbie Harry. Hi, Max. You know, just think men that like these sexy vixen types. And I want you to close your eyes, just like Max did. And I want you to imagine somebody's up on the screen. You're going, hi, Max. Max, you can trust me, Max. Max, Max. I love you. Come closer to the screen. So James Woods, Max, he's really getting a good hot dose of Videodrome because he's just not listening to her voice. There is an intentional tone and sound that they're sending to the human brain. And what they're doing is going up against, like, they're, you know, wanting to infiltrate the society. Go up against the established norm, like death to the old nation, you know, long lives a new flesh. I mean, this is what the kind of programming that he was getting, that not knowing, by using sex, porn, soft porn, enticing, designed in tones and phrases and the way you talk and you move your mouth. scintillate and attack the sensual senses. This is why we have to be centered in another place rather than those three lower worlds that I talk about in Buddhism, where it says anger, greed, and plain old ignorance or stupidity. So Max, looking for the next thrill. Don't forget his ego was involved. He was looking for the next thrill and how to get people all hooked and seduced and got them coming to his channel and they never want to leave and go anywhere else. Nikki becomes more prominent. So he finally meets, I think he goes to someone's home, if I'm not mistaken, and I think he meets the guy's daughter. And the man himself, Brian Oblivion, he's gone on. He's passed on into the other world, but his effect, because of the videos and Videodrome, they are still being used in the modern day world. So no matter. Now, remember in the Matrix, I want to go back and forth. We have a little bit of time. I want to go back and forth. In the Matrix, they were concerned more with future, you know. Future, but really out there, like where you have the machines now taking over that can replicate humans and sound, look, act human, you know. And I'm not so sure if AI had or technology had to bring that out, because there are people out there, we know them, that are so fake and so phony and so being people pleasers that they can't even be themselves. So when we meet them, we don't even meet a version of themselves. We meet something that is totally replaced by some entity unknown to us and them. So anyway, but in the Matrix, they were really concerned, in all three series, really concerned about the fate of mankind. You know, what's going to happen to us if the machines take over? They're now very bright. In iRobot, one of my favorite movies other than Hitch. And I'm talking about Will Smith, the actor, not Will Smith's personal life. I could care less about Will Smith's personal life. I'm sure he has problems and trials and tribulations like everybody else, poor thing. You just happen to be out here and be famous. So it's rather exposing, which is why fame can be a noose around a neck. You know, nobody needs to know your personal business every 5 minutes. But in his film, iRobot, the premise of the film is that he's a private detective. I love his name, Hooch, or what's his name? Something like that. Anyway, Spoon. Just to add another tidbit of information, way, way, way back in NBC days, Mario Van Peebles had, Mario Van Peebles is well-known and famous in his own right, but his father is most famous, Melvin Van Peebles, for doing the movie, the Blaxploitation, very famous movie, Sweet, Sweet Beck's Badass Song. So I'm talking about the son. But he played a character that was called Spoon. He was a detective, always on the case, and he would dress in all of these different things. So For those of you who don't know anything about the movie industry, where things come from and how people borrow ideas over time, well, you know, that's long enough ago, nobody will know. Well, guess what? Some people are around that really did know and paid attention and observed, you know. But anyway, so in iRobot, it's the same thing happens where the robots become bright enough to start running themselves. They have three sets of rules that they're not supposed to the guidelines they're supposed to keep at all times. One is that they always obey human command. The other is that they don't step outside of the three rules, and with some of the rule they had. And Will Spoon kept trying to tell everybody that the robots had killed this very bright scientist. He ended up dead all of a sudden, and he created a special robot. His name was Sunny, and Sunny was capable of not only expressing human thought, emotion, and all of that, he was capable of taking directions that were programmed in him by this scientist who ended up dead out of the blue. So, of course, Will Smith, aka Spoon, had to research. So on the way in researching and finding out the truth, he runs into the scientist that works for these labs. They join forces. It's a female. She's very bright, but very, he says, you're very dumb. One of the brightest, dumbest people I know. Because he's following crumbs and evidence that there's something going on behind the scenes. And she's dealing with just what she sees and what she's told. So anyway, that movie also showed, here we go, everybody's surprised. Don't be surprised. The movies were already reflecting that. At the end of the movie, in case you haven't seen it, in my opinion, people can't blow a movie for me. Either I'm intrigued enough about the little bit of information I hear to want to see it myself, or I'm not interested enough to see it. But anyway, at the end, they find out the machines have become so sophisticated that not only that they can tell all the robots what to do, and humanity has been depending on robots to run things in the community, you know, to run things, to make sure things are right, serve humanity, not, you know, be in control of humanity anyway. So that was iRobot. And then the other robotic thing. So it was iRobot, though, all of those type movies. How brilliant machines had become and how brilliant AI. So back to Videodrome. So Nikki eventually goes from voice to him hallucinating. Come on. There were no lips actually on the screen, but in his mind, with her heavy breathing and the pulsating screen, you know, he's hallucinating. And I thought it was such a technical, tactile, practical thing to do on Cronenberg's part as a director to make the imagery like that, where he had a breathing television. Then he brought some big old lips on. Poor Big Lips was popular. He had some big old juicy lips on there. And she came on the screen. And she was moving her lips like this, talking real low and slow, and getting James Woods to go into the screen. And finally, he starts interacting with the screen. Listen to what I'm saying. Technical biotics, robots that can interact with humans, and you can kiss on them and project your emotion into them. Don't forget, their projections of something into something. The machine may not have any kind of feeling or doesn't often have anything. But when human emotions are so deep and we run so deep that we don't even understand all of the depths within our own bodies of emotion and the different layers and landscapes of emotions, when I tell you I'm an emotional being creature that's had to learn to discipline emotions, have to learn how to let emotion not kill you, let emotion not let you kill somebody else, just have to temper and polish and temper and go through things over and over and over again. So then when you're handed that sword, you know, or handed that technical tool, that scientific tool, that kind of mind that is brilliant and strong and resilient, there will be no misuse. You've been burned in the fire. I doubt very seriously if you're going to be walking around, not have been made humble or not have been burned in the fire, which most sores have to be purged and burned a lot in order to be resilient enough to cut something's head off and a whisk gone, or to cut off evil, or to cut off negativity, or to back up adversities, or to back up obstacles. So poor Max, he's all on the screen. Oh, he's hooked now. He got now the daughter warned him that her father was very powerful. Of course, there are people that don't believe that things can be powerful just because they don't know about them. They don't believe that at all. So here's poor Max. He's all sucked in. To Vicky. Nikki, not Vicky. He don't know what to do. poor thing, he finds out that the show he saw is not even the violence and torture he saw was real. It wasn't a fake. It was actually real violence and torture that people had been driven to do based on hearing this tone. And, you know, that, again, taking into consideration that we must take care of what we decide to listen to and how we decide to take in things. Now, I'm going to interject this only because it just came up in my mind, might be an interesting point for some of you. When I was practicing other things, I noticed that, you know, there was one person usually in a position of worship, you know, one person relaying information in their interpretation, their POV, their personal point of view. And we all followed that, thinking that those people were trustworthy and that whatever they said was in fact true and, you know, we could believe it. And then what happened to me really fast, as I take you deeper into Videodrome, is that I was like a staunch, I mean, you're talking about want to practice the word to the T. I mean, you couldn't pay me to say nothing bad about my mother, my father, not have the house clean when they showed up after work. I just wanted to please them so bad because I saw my mother work very, very hard and she struggled most of her life. And because I saw my mother work even after coming home from house cleaning, very wealthy people's homes, which is not impressed by your money. For those of you that think because you have money, it's going to impress me, it does not. I've been around wealthy people my whole life. I'm impressed by who you are behind your money. If you still have a generous heart, if you still care about others, that's what I find impressive. But your cars and stuff, Mercedes and all those cars, they look so cheap now. They don't look anything like the classics they used to look like. But anyway, you know, I was always trying to please my parents. So, you know, even though, you know, my mother was really very protective, I mean, to the point that we couldn't go out in the yard by ourselves. It was only me and my sister that I actually grew up with. And the rest were brothers. Nine, you know, my brothers, they would be protected. I remember my brother Kenny, you better learn how to, I can still hear him, hi, take care of yourself. And I ain't got time every time some in come down here trying to talk to you. You know, you up here whining and crying and somebody trying to talk to you. I don't know none of these blah, blah, blah. And my mother would not let me breathe without my brother. Maybe that's why I became so independent, because I just, you know, got tired of all of that. Like I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't breathe. Everywhere I looked, my brother was standing there. You know, and so he would tell my mother, if some guy in high school, and I liked all the older guys, of course, they had wisdom, they could teach you something, you know. So anyway, but he would tell my mother he saw me, and I would hatch my dress up, make it sure we go there. So we early on got an idea of what it felt like to kind of listen to other people and not really question. So it wasn't until I got a little older and in high school age that I decided to question things and step outside of a box, because I just didn't see in the behavior of anything around me, the words didn't match the behavior and the behavior didn't match what the word was and what was being said. And me being a person that requires truthful honesty, it just didn't make sense to me. I mean, I consider myself to be not only bright, but, you know, pretty doggone near on the genius level in terms of what I've been exposed to and what I've allowed myself to learn and carry in my brain and hold on to. It's very interesting things. So back to Videodrome again, because James Woods was looking for a way to incite more participation from his audience, he got hooked into his sensuality. he couldn't even determine his own senses from non-reality from reality at a certain point. And Nikki became that sensuality that he depended on. He would go to the screen and there would be Nikki. Nikki, you know, she would be there. I'm here for you, Max. Don't forget, I'm always here for you, Max. I'm the only one that's here for you, Max. Much like the way the drug that used to call Richard Pryor, when he caught himself and burned himself, almost set himself alive, burned himself alive because he was listening to some hallucinative voice inside his own mind, because his mind wasn't developed and it wasn't tempered and it wasn't educated and it wasn't intelligent and lacked the ability to reason. So again, Woods becomes part of the program. Now they all of a sudden have Homeboy going inside of his side of a rib, and they're putting the box, now the drone, inside of his body, his stomach, his torso, where now his side of his body is pulsating. It has this big open hole. Of course, they made it look like a birthing hole, I'll say. All open on the side, and you hear Nikki's voice and the drone signal, and the wind starts gusting up because he's now becoming really sucked in and seduced into this whole video drone program where they are, you know, long live the new flesh, where the new flesh is the drone. You are no longer in control. You are no longer your own person. You are a part of the matrix. See where the matrix came from? The system. We're now just being programmed to get up every morning, go to work, go home, go to church, go to this, do that, da 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 da. It's all like, as Grace Jones would say, slave to the rhythm. All like being enslaved. And once the eyes start to open, the inner eyes, along with the outer eyes, the inner eyes of seeing, clairvoyant, you know, of seeing deeper into the landscape, it's a little scary. You know, that we're all being controlled. You know, I looked at my YouTube bill, and my Netflix bill, and my computer bill. They have literally done a video drum on us where there's a tumor wrapping around the brain that we need all of these things. And I am desperately finding a way to get out of needing all these things so much. Like, I like YouTube and I use YouTube because it's a way for me to get my voice heard and get things out. Netflix, I could probably do without Netflix. Disney, I love Disney because I'm a writer and an author. And I love the world of fantasy because in some ways, fantasy is not fantasy, depending on how imaginative the mind is. And mine, I'm like, I like my mind, even at this age, is like a kid. I never lost that childlike innocence, you know, where you want to learn things, you know, you're doing fun things and think, you know, life is still exciting. You know, not having been so swooned under by problems and adversities and obstacles and things that life has, you know, just beat you to death. Thank goodness I've had something to help me stay refined and stay polished and stay moving forward and working on myself at all times. I don't mean that I'm without flaw or fault, but I am wanting to be as perfect as I possibly be while my spirit is contained in human form. So if you could see my wings, you would understand what I mean. And I was born in the year of the dragon, so I do have dragon in me. I look, you know, very soft, which I am, very loving and caring, but I don't bother anybody and I don't take to kindly people bothering me. I don't care what a personal life may be. I could care less about Hollywood's dark side or whatever. I look at people as they merit. I take you the way you present yourself to me. And until I see something different, you know, I take people up front. I've learned to be a lot more discerning and to actually still listen to my gut feeling rather than ignore it. And, you know, a lot of us have been subject to those things. But again, poor Max, he got all sucked in. He didn't mean to. I mean, at first to him, it was like something exciting to do, something fun. Wow, they're going to like my TV show more because I've got this signal that nobody's heard of. And they're doing all these weird things, you know, and there's this sensuality involved and this sexuality. And let me put it this way. In my opinion, the higher forms of sex, you can look this up. There's a form of sex called Kareza, K-A-R-E-Z-Z-A. I think it's just to give you a little tidbit of information. I think it's a French form of loving where the masculine energy incites the woman's excitability, sensuality, sexuality through the power of touch, merely holding, snuggling, kissing. And I mean, you know, not kissing like, you know, this harsh, let's just get to it. There's no romance, no delicacy, no dance. When Kareza, there's a dance. And if you're really aware, the man understands his masculinity and his power in seducing or bringing the feminine aspect of a woman into submission. Without, it has nothing to do with control. It has nothing to do with, I'm the man, you're the woman. It is just the power of someone that understands the archetypal patterns of masculine and feminine genders without attaching body parts to it. They understand the archetypal patterns. Now, within a man that's fully a man, meaning that he's expressing more of his masculine self, and he either finds that femininity through the partner where he expresses his soft side through his woman, or vice versa, whoever his partner is. But in Kareza, again, you can look it up. It's K-A-R-E-Z-Z-A. I learned all of this stuff back when I was like 20 years old, and I was studying the etheric bodies, you know, the subtle bodies of the human body and how they can dance and play on the other subtle level. So, you know, it's a programming, but in a positive way, so that, you know, we learn how to integrate the positive and negative, the yin and the yang, the male, female. You learn to bring those things into balance. But in poor Max's case, he just got completely turned down. Nikki was nothing more than a voice and a face that he created in his own mind with Debbie Harry. In fact, Brian Oblivion's purpose was to get as many people as he could to hear the tone. Now, there's another movie that came out. What is the name of it? I can't think of the actor's name. I see his face. You know, you're trying to stay on point, but you see things that comes in your mind. But I can't think of his name. But the movie is about the same thing, where there's some kind of satellite that has this noise. And one person starts, and eventually all of them are walking around in a circle, hearing this noise, where they just, that's all they do is hear this noise, and they hear this noise, and pretty soon the whole community and countries are swept in by this noise. And this one guy is trying to avoid the noise, but he can't. He gets sucked into the noise. So again, we aren't so controlled that we can't choose to listen to something or to decide what we take in and what we don't. We can control it still, but I don't know how crazy it's going to get, you guys. I don't know how crazy it may get. They may actually think at some point, depending on, you know, the level of how our government and our systems are developing, which to me, they don't look like humanitarian-wise, educational-wise, intelligence-wise, it doesn't seem to be in developing that broad. It's still focused largely on material gain, still focused largely on control, the weak ones and the strong ones are on top. And that's all going to change whether we're here to experience it, has to, because life has a way of bringing things into balance, whether we understand what the balance may look like or not. I'm just telling you that from a person that's lived long enough to see things come to balance. If you live, like my mother just used to say, if you live long enough, you'll see a lot, because everything will come back around. You will know what you've been doing in your life. Your life will be a testament to what you've done and how you've lived, you know, at age 40. What does your life look like? Well, that's what you've been doing. The way your life looks, change it. There's always a chance to change, you know. I found Buddhism, thank goodness, you know, that I was able to develop and have discipline enough to be able to do something twice a day that could actually radically, dramatically shift me so much that the people that thought they knew me don't know anything about me at all. That kind of changed, like a, not just talking anymore, becoming and are, I am, you know, rather than wishing upon a star or, you know, listen to the many, 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 many psychics, readers, transformative people, people like the Ramp, that you look it up, you know, things that could easily twist the mind of a young Black kid that was just curious and found herself in just some enormously deep stuff, you know, like, wow, you'd have to been there, you know, but nothing distorted, nothing, you know, not some porn ring or something like that, you know, where I had to work myself through, you know, through sensuality or things that had happened sexually to some kind of way misinform or misdirect myself, even though those things happened too, but rather than shift me or some people like me into dark, it brightened me. It developed me into a spiritual being, you know, like, wow, okay. Much like that movie, Kung Fu Hustle. I'm bringing movies in because they all are going back to the point of how we can be controlled by our own sensuality, our own flaws, our own inability to want to be ourselves, our own trying to be other people, our own desperate need to fit in. Stop trying to fit in. Be yourself. Tell the truth. Be honest with ourselves. I'm honest with myself. That I am. And, you know, I've learned to love me some Osiris, you know, me some Nita, you know, all the names and versions, you know, that I've chosen in this particular lifetime. But I am an androgynous being, and I love that. And everything is where it needs to be. Everything comes out where it needs to come out. And that's the whole point of being in balance, that you can, things aren't, you're not doing things based on a wound or based on something that happened. You're not, you know, acting as a man because a man hurt you or because you want to get back at them or whatever. You know, these are deep psychological things that can't be just washed away with some tall tale of promising to go to heaven or hell or promising that you're not going to suffer if you do this and that. They are very, very deep, deep scars that, you know, we have gained over time through our numerous experiences, you know, and numerous things. But poor Max, Max ended up becoming a part of the Videodrome, you know. And, you know, he wanted, I don't know what happened to his station. I think one of the guys he talked, no, they had gotten to one of the station people, one of the station managers or something, kind of got heard the tone because he was being nosy and finding out, trying to find out what Max was after, you know, because he went off by himself. And next thing you know, he was running things and things like that. And so, you know, he got hung up, and that's unfortunate. And nobody could bring him back because he had already started putting the drone into his side, and the drone eventually turned into a gun where it had all of these, like, much like the Matrix, where they had these kind of wired spinal columns, looks like a ribbed cord, if for lack of a better way to say it, where, you know, you have these heavy indentations, much like somebody chops a fish and they have little halves in there. That's how it was shaped and roped, much like the portal in existence. You know, much everything is kind of on a similar thread to familiar, but not so familiar that it's a copy, you know, and poor thing. But, you know, the next time you're on your phone and, you know, you look down and you're holding your phone, you might want to ask yourself, are you holding your phone or is your phone holding you? I want you to think about these things. Think. Use your noggin. My dad made me think as a girl. Don't ask me about words. Go get Mr. Webster. Who is Mr. Webster? We were trying to figure out who Mr. Webster was. Go get Mr. Webster. He'd make us look up a word. Can you spell? Look up that word. There are Black folks that have died for you to be able to read. Died. How dare you come in here and act ignorant in front of me? I think that's how I got so smart. Eventually, I enjoyed reading and I enjoyed gathering information and being able to. It's nice being able to talk to people about something other than the president and sex and how bad the society is, and, you know, people and all of the negatives. It's so much fun talking to educators and people that are making differences and people that have podcasts that are talking about real life living things that people are going through. And, you know, that we all can help each other transform and grow. So anyway, that's been the show for today. Thank you for being my babies and my luminaries out there. I love you. I loke you. Love you and like you all at once. Hugging you now from afar. Appreciating that you do what you need to do for yourself to get to the next step. I know it's rough, baby. I've been through it. One day I will tell my story. But I'm telling you, it can be rough and trying, and you can feel alone and, you know, like there's nobody there but you. You have to depend on yourself. When I tell you that there is a part of you that is willing to stand up and take over, you know, how that superhero, like in Kung Fu Hustle, where they beat the poor boy down into the ground, you know, beating him, just out of control, just going, because they thought he was weak. And he was trying to be one of the bad guys. Kung Fu Hustle, David Chow, the director. Hey, David Chow, I love your work. Stephen Chow. Sorry about that. Stephen Chow, the director. Wow, he just became, he went off. The couple got him. And they were old, like Kung Fu masters. So they were deep. They just looked like they were living in the village until the bad people came in. And my man, the father broke out in his Kung Fu move, his yin yang circle, and whipped some butt. And then the mom had the lion's roar, where she had some kind of special voice to her sound and tone that if you were in any distance, you are lucky if the skeleton in your body was still standing by the time homegirl in the gates go, oh, the lion's roar. I haven't heard of that in years. You know, it exists. And that they were all blown away. And eventually the Kung Fu kid that got so beaten down became a master because he had gone through so much and had gotten so beaten down. I mean, dead for all matters, just dead to the world. Except for one of his little buddies that stuck by him while he went through all of his transformations. And then one day he became such a master that he was able to not only master his own life, was able to teach and share with those who thought to hurt and bring harm against him. I can tell you, if you try to hurt and bring harm against me, I probably won't be your friend. I'll have to help you from afar. Okay? Not trustworthy. But anyway, that's it for today. My social media tags are Osiris underscore Munir the Painter on IG, all over the internet. Just look under Ankh, A-N-K-H Entertainment, The Osiris Munir Show, LA Talk Radio. Want to do a shout out and give my wholeheartedly hugs and loving appreciation to Sam Hassan, station owner, LA Talk Radio, and a wonderful human being that anyone from anywhere in the world would want to know. Also, thank you for, you know, letting me hang with you. When I don't have a guest, I feel like I get to hang with you guys, you know, get to say stuff that I don't get to talk when I have a guest. I want to put more of the energy on them. So meanwhile, I want you to like, share, dun, dun, dun. And above all, please subscribe to my channel. I love talking to you and giving you some information that you may or may not have heard of, and coming to you every week and sharing the show. So don't forget to shine out there. Don't forget to smile. It works wonders, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Have a great week.
You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.